Let's open up our Bibles to Psalm 103. The text for the sermon this evening is verses 10 through 12, 10, 11, and 12. And we'll read the entirety of Psalm 103. Hear the word of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's reread those verses which we will consider closely tonight, verses 10 through 12. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, undoubtedly, in the past few weeks, you have either thought to yourself or even said to someone else, it seems as if there are so many troubles in so many different areas of life. Look out in society, there are many difficulties. Even in the church, there are hardships. Undoubtedly, in your own life and in the life of your family, there are certain afflictions that you're going through. Your remark about that. There's so much going on right now. Something that's a temptation for us when we're going through all sorts of trials is that we would focus on these hardships and become so consumed with them that we're filled with anxiety, that we begin to tremble. These are the only things that we're focusing on. It's good for us to be in the Word of God, not only daily, but from Sabbath to Sabbath. Here are the things that never change. Here are the beautiful, the lovely spiritual realities that are eternal. Where do you go when you're in a time of calamity? Psalm 103 is one of those go-to passages, isn't it? Well known to us. Maybe some of us even have it memorized. But one of those unchanging realities, eternal, is the mercy of God. I want us to meditate upon that tonight. Really to think upon this. Jehovah God is merciful to me. It could be that the whole world is collapsing in around me, but the Lord is merciful to me, and that's all I need to know. Psalm 103 is all about the mercy of Jehovah toward us. It's presented here in such a way that it's very vivid and unforgettable. Sometimes when doctrine is taught in the Word of God, it's presented in a tight logical form. You think especially of the epistles of the New Testament, A and then B and C and D and so on. But at other portions of the Word of God, these very same doctrines are presented in a very picturesque way. You think of the Old Testament, particularly the Psalms. Now, we're in Psalm 103, and what the Holy Spirit is doing is drawing a picture for us. Do you want to know what the mercy of God is like? Here are pictures that the Holy Spirit paints, easily understood, to show to us just how profound, just how great the mercy of God toward us really is, to give us a glimpse into that. And he impresses these things deeply upon us. 103rd Psalm, the psalmist is David, and as I mentioned, what looms large here is the mercy of God. It's like a golden thread that runs through the entirety of these verses. Let me just give you examples of that already in verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Then a little later on in the psalm, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And even before that, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Then when you go toward the end of the psalm, verse 17, same thing. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. The whole psalm is about God's mercy. What our text, what these three verses stress, is the greatness of Jehovah's mercy toward us. It's great. I ask you, believer, did you come to church this afternoon burdened? I'm not talking about being weighed down generally with the trials of life, although that may very well be true of you tonight too. But burdened with your sin. Knowing, experiencing that heavy, heavy weight of the guilt of your sin pressing down upon you. You need, I need, Psalm 103. Let's hear about the mercy of God. Under the theme, Jehovah's great mercy. First of all, the idea of this mercy. Second, how he shows this mercy. And third, to whom he shows this mercy. Jehovah's great mercy, the idea, how he shows it, and to whom he shows it. It's very clear from the words of the text that what's emphasized here is that the Lord is merciful to his people. The emphasis is on the Lord showing his mercy to us. Just read those words. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. You can't understand mercy unless you know something of the objects of God's mercy, to whom he shows it. What's true of you and of me? Misery. That in one word. We're miserable. We're in the deepest woe that there could be, like a deep, dark, swampy pit. We're down at the bottom of that pit. We're utterly wretched and miserable. A lot of words in the English language have been watered down over the years, and miserable is one of those words. Someone has congested nasal passages, and they say, I'm just feeling miserable today. The weather is cloudy and humid and rainy. It's soggy out, and someone says, it's just a miserable day today. That's not real misery. True misery. And really, the explanation of all misery that we find in the world is this. Misery in sin. Sin, that's the thing. Here we are in that deep, dark, swampy hole of sin. That's our misery. We're wretched. Upon us, the Lord has mercy. That is, he has pity and compassion toward us who are miserable. That's what his mercy is, his pity and his compassion toward those who are miserable. A little boy gets in a terrible car collision. He's lying there in the hospital bed. And he's just writhing in pain as he's lying there. And his father is standing above him, looking at his son in his great misery. And that father has pity and compassion upon his son who's lying there, suffering so much. And the father is actually moved within himself toward his son. That gives you just a little window into what the mercy of God toward us in our misery is. Not only that he has pity and compassion upon us in our misery, but, and this is so beautiful, that the Lord is actually moved within himself toward us in our deepest woe. That's his mercy. Mercy, furthermore, is his will to bless us. His will to bless. His pity and his compassion, that first of all. And second, his will to bless his people. And this is where the example breaks down. That father can be standing over the hospital bed that his son is on, his son who's writhing in pain, that father can have pity and compassion upon his little boy, but he can't actually deliver him from his misery. All the father can do is nervously wring his hands and just wish that his boy would get better. But it's so gloriously different with Jehovah God, our God. He not only has pity and compassion upon us in our deepest woe, but his mercy is a power. He wills to bless us, that is, takes a hold of us down there in that deep, dark pit of misery and sin. And he brings us not only out of that hole, and he doesn't set us on ground level, as it were, but even brings us higher and higher and higher unto himself, delivers us from our woe, and blesses us supremely. That's his mercy. His will to bless us. And don't think for a moment, people of God, that when we say that his mercy is his will to bless, that God has a desire, perhaps, to deliver us and to bless us supremely, but in the end, he's really powerless to do it. He's somewhat like that father, nervously wringing his hands on the sidelines. He wished he could do it, but in the end, he can't. Don't think that for a moment. His mercy is a power, and whatever is Jehovah's will to do, he'll certainly do it. That's his mercy. It's so great. That's what the verse says. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy. In fact, as we're going through the sermon tonight, in your mind and heart, you could say it that way. Not just mercy, but this is a so great mercy. That word great means mighty. That's the mercy that it is. It's a mighty mercy. Do you children remember when the Bible speaks about the flood? What scripture says about the flood? It says the waters prevailed, and that's the same word as great. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, covering even the mountains. These flood waters just rushed like a mighty torrent, unstoppable, and they got higher and higher and higher until finally even they covered the peaks of the mountains. Such a great force. Doesn't that tell us something about the mercy of God? So mighty, like that unstoppable water, God certainly will accomplish his will. His mercy is like the water that rushes like a torrent. It's great. Holy Spirit, as I said earlier, draws for us a picture to give us a little glimpse into just how great this mercy is. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy. As the heaven, that is, outer space, is high above the earth. For those of you alive in the late 1960s, you remember how much time and how many resources it took to get a man to the moon, a manned shuttle. And when you consider the moon, you think to yourself, that's high above the earth. And to get a man there, well, that was quite an accomplishment there in the late 60s. But when you really think about it, yes, the moon is far above us, but that's actually relatively near to the earth. Now think of the stars in those distant galaxies. When you look up into the black expanse of space and you see those stars that are so far away, you know that there's a limit to space, you know that, but from your perspective, it seems endless. It just goes on and on, higher and higher. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy of our God toward us. It is great in three different respects. First, the mercy of the Lord is great in that it is from everlasting to everlasting. That's what we're informed of later on in verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. God is eternal. God's mercy is eternal. It is from everlasting, from everlasting. We make a mistake if we say that God at some point began to be merciful. For example, when man fell into sin. No, God did not begin to be merciful. From eternity, he took pity upon us and was compassionate. From eternity, his will was to bless us to the supreme degree. In fact, God's mercy is rooted in his eternal gracious decree of election. It's from everlasting and to everlasting. It's a mercy that will never cease. It is a mercy that will never be frustrated by anyone. It's forever. That's a great mercy. It's great in this second respect, that it is an infinite power. Now, I've alluded to this in a couple of different places, but now focus on it a little more. Just to think that here I am in the depths of that hole, the deepest, blackest, most horrible hole of sin, and that he's plucked me out of that and taken me out of those depths, that's a power. And not only brought me, as it were, to ground level, but taken me so high that he's taken me to himself and blessed me supremely, so richly. That's a power. Such a power is this mercy of the Lord, that the devil, no matter how hard he rages, he will never stop it. And you, with your sinful nature and all the ways that those sins pour out, will never frustrate this mercy of God. And the world may be crumbling all around us. Fire started everywhere. Protesters, persecution, we see coming closer and closer. That will not stop the mercy of God. His mercy is great. In this third respect, too, it's incomprehensible. You can know his mercy. Else, why would we even come to church tonight? And why would we have a sermon on his mercy? We can know some certain things, and we treasure these things in our hearts. But you cannot fully know it. You can't fully. Didn't the text just say, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy? You can't fully know that. It's incomprehensible. And from this point of view, too, incomprehensible, that I, who am such a wretch, he's compassionate toward me. Can't wrap my mind fully around that. Don't you learn, beloved, to exclaim it? This is no theology lecture in Psalm 103. Exclaim it in your heart with the psalmist. As far as the east is from the west, or rather, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Jehovah shows this mercy, and he shows it toward us in a certain way. And you see that that's the relationship between these ideas with that little word for at the beginning of verse 11. This is how he shows it. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. This is how he shows it. Not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. There are here in the text, and you'll find two of them there and one of them below it, three words for sin. One of them is the actual word, sins. We've missed the mark of God's glory. Just think about what happened in the home, maybe this morning or this afternoon. Way we dealt with each other, conflicts that arose getting ready for church. What about within the worship service itself? Just in the past hour or so, what have I been thinking about? And just in the past half hour, hour, how many ways in my thoughts that no one even knows about have I missed the mark of God's glory? And that's not, by the way, aiming 1 or 2 inches below the bullseye and just barely missing that bullseye of his glory. No, but it's this, turning 180 degrees around and doing that willfully and shooting the completely opposite direction at our own selfish desires. That's what sins are, missing the mark of God's glory. We sin all the time. There are also our iniquities. Iniquities. That which is perverted, twisted, crooked. When you have your eye on the news and there's someone who's committed an especially heinous crime, you might say to yourself, that is such a perverted person. Truth of the matter is, we are perverted. We have iniquities. We're twisted. We're God's law is a straight, perfectly straight standard. We are crooked. All of our iniquities. Children, how did you talk to your parents this week? What was your attitude toward them? Husband, how did you deal with your wife? Wife, what sort of words did you say to your husband? And you see, just in those few examples, just how twisted we can be. And there are our transgressions. Of all three of those words, this one really sends the chills up the spine. A transgression is rebellion. Every time we miss the mark of God's glory, every time we do that which is crooked, it's really this, rising up in revolt against the thrice holy, almighty God of heaven and earth. Nothing less than rebellion. rebellion. That's our sin. It's transgressions. The Lord shows his mercy to us in this way. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. So here we are in the courtroom of God, loaded down with all these sins and iniquities and transgressions as this giant pile that is upon us. And God says, I won't deal with you after your sin. I will not reward you according to your iniquity. That's his mercy toward us. If he were to deal with us after our sins, do you know what that would mean? That would mean temporal punishment from God already here on this earth and the fires of hell forever and ever and ever that never go out. And if he were to reward us according to our iniquities, it would mean that what rests upon us is the furious anger of God forever. Which is just to say, really, isn't it? He does not deal with us according to our sins, and he does not reward us according to our iniquities, even though we deserve exactly that. Jehovah shows to us his mercy also in this way, verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Rather, not 11, but 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. This is how the Lord shows to you and to me that he's so compassionate and pitiful and that he blesses us to the supreme degree. He removes our transgressions from us. And again, the Holy Spirit paints for us a picture to show us just how beautiful that really is. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Let's say that you got in a car and you traveled west across the United States until you hit the Pacific coast. Then you boarded a boat and went all the way across the vast Pacific Ocean westward until you hit Japan. Then you continued on land westward through China and the Middle East and Europe until finally you arrived at Spain. Then you boarded another boat and went west across the Atlantic Ocean until you came back to the United States. Then you took the last leg of your journey west back to Michigan. I ask you, at any point in your travels going west, did you ever meet the east? Could you ever say, traveling west, here finally is the east? You know the answer to that question. No, of course not. There's an endless distance between east and west. And now, does it that take your breath away? as far as the east is from the west, that is an endless distance, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. The Lord has taken that heavy load of the guilt of our transgressions, all of them. He's taken that guilt and he has caused it to be removed from us. He's taken it off of us and taken it away, never to be met with again. He separated it from us as an infinite distance. It's gone forever. That's his mercy. Do you have a question? Burning a hole into your soul, though? How can this be? You know your Heidelberg Catechism, don't you? He's merciful, but he's also just. He's just. And in his justice, he must punish with a severe punishment. You know, too, that his justice and his mercy are not, cannot be, and never will be at conflict with each other. They're not at war with each other. God is merciful and he is just. But you say, again, how can that be? It's just so emphasized here. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. The text just presents it as a fact. And you know that God can't just take those sins and those iniquities and those transgressions and sweep them under the rug and stand on top of that rug and pretend as if they're not there. The gospel, people of God. How lovely and precious. God is merciful in Christ. And out of this divine heart of mercy, he sent forth his only begotten Son. And that crushing burden, that heavy load of the guilt of our sins placed upon Jesus Christ all his life long, and especially there as he was hanging on the cross. He suffered under the wrath of God, and he did that in perfect and loving obedience. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's what you ought to be thinking about, the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. That guilt has been removed forever. Remember, I made a point of saying earlier that we deserve to be rewarded according to our iniquities. We deserve to be dealt with according to our sins. Here's the beautiful truth. Christ was punished in your place so that you might never have to know that wrath of God. Look at that cross, believer. And you behold there the unsurpassed mercy of God upon you. You look at that cross, and you find there a so great mercy as the heaven is high above the earth. So great is this mercy. And then, again, you really learn to exclaim it all the more, don't you? As far as the east is from the west, says the psalmist, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God shows this mercy toward them that fear him. And that's what it says in verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Be careful. Be careful. Let's understand clearly that God is not merciful because we fear him. And let's be very clear that God's mercy is not conditioned upon our fearing him. And that's necessary to say, not only to defend over against error, but if those things were true, if God's mercy was in some sense dependent upon us, then the whole text falls flat to the ground. You understand? God is not sovereign anymore if those things are true. And then he really is like that father that stands over his son at that hospital, and he's just wringing his hands nervously, waiting for man to do something. And really, his mercy is no longer mercy. But rather, the truth of it is that God's everlasting mercy works the fear of God in his people. Now notice a couple of things here. The first is that Jehovah's mercy is a particular mercy. He's not compassionate toward, nor does he will to bless all people. He's not merciful to the reprobate, but he is compassionate toward and he wills to bless the elect, all the elect alone. It's a particular mercy. Remember earlier on in the sermon, we said that this mercy of Jehovah is rooted in the eternal gracious decree of election. Now when we read in the text that he is merciful toward them that fear him, that's his elect. And his elect alone. It's particular. And you fall on your knees, humbled. It's not toward all people. But he is merciful to me. Amazing. The second thing that we ought to notice is what this fear is. Merciful to them that fear him. This fearing is a loving awe and a reverence-filled trembling that God himself works in us. Do you tremble tonight, knowing what mercy is? That it is as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great that God has removed from you your transgressions at an endless distance? You tremble at that? This fear is an awe that fills us when we understand how undeserving we are. Here I am in this deep, dark, swampy pit. I'm not worthy of this. I do not deserve this mercy in any way. The Lord is merciful to me. And I'm filled with awe at that. It's the kind of reverence-filled trembling this fear is, knowing that God sent forth his only begotten Son and that Christ carried that load of guilt and that I don't ever have to be punished. He took my place. This fear is a worshipful, grateful heart. That's really what it is, isn't it? That our hearts quake in gratitude to this God. And to include nothing more, this fear includes a life of striving to keep God's commandments. We read that later on in the psalm, that idea. Seeking to keep God's good commandments in gratitude to him. What a great mercy, endless, to them who fear him. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this so great compassion and pity that thou dost have upon us, thy people. We fall down on our knees, humbled by this, thankful for this. A great God thou art, and greatly to be praised. Hear our prayer. Apply thy word by thy Spirit to our hearts and to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.